Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Chip Nellinger. Chip, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, pretty good. We finally bucking the trend here. We've had, I think, almost 48 hours without rain. So it's, yes. We don't know what to do here in Illinois.
Yeah, I'm sure. We're the same way. We've gone a little bit here without any moisture, and quite frankly, I don't know what to do with myself. It's something way out of the norm right now, but we did have kind of had those isolated thunderstorms all weekend in the evening time around.
Yeah, our rain's supposed to come back Tuesday, so it was an all-off sprint. I've heard some kind of horror stories. I get it. I'm not criticizing anyone at all. Don't hear me say that. But at this point, our insurance date in Illinois, Indiana, in Ohio is, I believe it's Friday, the 5th. And the rains are supposed to come back starting Tuesday and the rest of the week, at least in this local area here, give or take 30, 40-mile radius of Peoria, Illinois. We're just getting 3 to as much as 6 inches of rain the rest of the week is what they're forecasting right now. So guys are mudding it in. I wouldn't be probably catching the right term. Trying to get some seed and ground. You get it in by the 5th, at least you're covered under your full amount of insurance. Everyone's different. Some people are going to take pre-plant plan on some acre. Some guys are trying to get some of the dry stuff in. It's an absolute mess in many areas. Planters getting stuck, and rows not closing back up. It's kind of a mess here, but it is what it is. Because June 3rd here, and 3rd. I don't know what we are, but it's June. I know that, and you shouldn't be starting to plant corn right now, and that's what some producers face literally. So it's a bad situation. The market's a little bit lower here as we speak. Actually turning, and with the exception of wheat, corn has turned a little bit higher. More rain's coming for the plains, more rain's coming for us in the eastern corn belt. Even the bean market here, there's untold millions of acres that are going to go in the ground in June. You can't count on 70 bushel beans when you're putting them in, pick your date in June. So.
Right.
It's a very dynamic market that we're facing, and it will be for many months to come as we debate the acreage and the yield and prevent plants. Unfortunately, there's not just a button they can push here in 6 or 8 weeks and tell you exactly how many. Well, there is, but they refuse to do that. So we're going to debate the prevent plant acres most likely until January and yield until probably January as well. And this market is way different than what we're used to in the last, 14, 18 months. So a lot of volatility, a lot of ways to make poor decisions, a lot of ways to make good decisions too. But you got to have a plan and execute it.
All right. So the first soybean insurance date's coming up here on June 5th. It's just a few days out. On Wednesday, George Burkaw and I are going to have a crop insurance webinar here live on Twitter. But what's it look like on June 5th when that day comes and goes and we're still looking at prevent plant now in soybeans instead of corn at this point?
Yeah, it's such a case-by-case scenario. With prevent plant, there's lots and lots of issues and moving parts around that. Comes down to what crop insurance you have, what coverage. The higher the coverage, maybe the more that starts making sense. Guys with lower coverage levels, 70-80%, or if you have nitrogen and chemicals, fertilizer down on the ground, they're the ones maybe rushing to get some seed in the ground. So it's such an individual case-by-case scenario. There's a lot of you know, minute details surrounding the prevent plant issue. There will be some of that. There's just no question. It's, I mean, even here, just walking in yards, I mean, it's saturated. I just never seen anything like it, though. There will be by far a new record amount of prevent plant acres in the country. But it is really a tough decision. And producers, maybe the tougher decision is around that. Do I keep planting after the 5th? What's the forecast look like then? You put seed in the ground after the 5th in the Eastern Corn Belt, at least corn, you lose a percent a day. Up until, I believe, the 20th, where there's technically no more coverage. So it's producers have a hard enough time dealing with, you know, not only last fall was, you know, a horrendous fall, but it just kept raining, snowing, hasn't quit. So producers really haven't had time to get their head above water and take a breath, and now they're faced with all these decisions about prevent plant and all the issues surrounding a planting here.
Yeah. All right, so let's bounce over to the couple things. One is, you know, on Thursday night, Friday, whatever it was, Trump talked about slapping some tariffs on Mexico in order to get them to, quote-unquote, enforce their own laws so that we could enforce our laws when it came to immigration, which, whatever, we got the new NAFTA done, and then, you know, not too long after that happened. What was the market's reaction to that over the weekend, and do you think what we see now is prices going a little bit lower now having to do with that, or do you think it's just a typical volatility you would see in a market like this?
Yeah, I think that would have added a tremendous amount of volatility. We were down on Friday. That tariff announcement to Mexico was a shock to the market. If it weren't for the wet weather and the delayed planting here, that would have hit the market harder than it did. But it's definitely something that affects the market. Mexico is right now, I believe, they're number one right now. Usually they're number two importer of U.S. corn. I think for this past marketing year, they're number one. They also buy large amount of soy meal, soybeans, pork, all kinds of other agricultural products. Major agricultural trading partner, obviously. And so that's not a good development from the ag front. It's just again, it's like farmers can't win for losing here. You know, they have been fighting this China tariff issue, trade war for well over a year. Horrible fall, horrible winter, horrible spring, horrible planting, and now we're going to tariff the number one or two biggest buyer of U.S. corn. So it's been a year to forget, I guess, as far as production and trade issues go. But it is a big deal, and it's a work in progress. We don't know how that's going to progress, and you know, that's not even trade related. That's more political and immigration and border related, but nonetheless, President Trump is using tariffs to you know, try to enact some sort of a change out of Mexico, and that escalates every month, right? So I believe what it is next week that first 5% goes in, and then every month thereafter it increases all the way up to 25%. So that's going to ramp up the volatility and the rhetoric and the, you know, importance of this thing real quickly.
Yeah, I don't quite get that one either, but whatever. Okay, so let's talk about the cattle complex for a little bit. Cattle market's been kind of up and down every other week, it feels like. One week they're up, next week they're down, they're kind of bouncing all over the place. A lot of volatility in that market, having to do with, I'm sure, with how the stock market has been reacting to various things going on in the world. You know, one day the stock market's up big, the next day it's down big. So talk about the cattle complex and what you see happening there.
Yeah, cattle had a real ugly close on Friday. It was the end of a month, so let's hope we can chalk it up to that. But we had major selling on the close on Friday in cattle. The sharply higher corn prices here the last a few weeks have really done a number on feeder cattle. Feeders have kind of led the cattle market lower. And then we had heavy selling pressure. So the funds are still long cattle a much more manageable position. But boy, at the end of the month, there on Friday, really hit that market hard. Part of the issue here is there's a little bit of a concern about domestic demand, right? I mean, it's been hard to, you know, fit a grilling session in between rains, and yeah. So there's a little bit of concern that, you know, domestic demand of pork and beef both are taking a little bit of a hit here. Hopefully we can see some better weather into the summer, but pretty ugly close Friday in feeders especially and live cattle. Hopefully it was kind of the last gasp and last, you know, puke from the funds there, but this morning we'll tell a little more of the story. Hopefully we can stabilize this thing and start talking about a bounce. We're into June now, and usually you see a seasonal low come to the market, you know, in the first half of June in the beef market. So hopefully that follows through as normal and will help give us a little bit of buying interest. And hopefully we can turn the corner and see some better weather across big chunks of the U.S. to maybe kickstart our demand a little bit as well.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of tough to go out and fire up the grill and it's raining inches at a time. It makes it a little difficult.
But it's, I tell you, it's tough. And chilly, cold, nasty weather, and then finally it warms up. And, mm-hmm. you know, literally just torrential rain after torrential rain. So yep. It's been a challenge everywhere you look. And, you know, the pork side, too, talking about, you know, the hog side real quickly. You saw China back in for U.S. pork again last week on Thursday, second week. I guess it was announced Friday because of a Memorial Day holiday, but second week in a row. But that was in the face of these Mexican trade tariff announcements, and that took a little bit of the steam out of what probably would have been sharply higher hogs. So, you know, very, very influential hog market. You know, I mean, it's probably one of the most, if not the most, bullish situations for all time in hogs. But now you've got Chinese tariffs and Mexican tariffs, and it really throws a monkey wrench in things. So, you know, tough time to navigate these markets any which way you look at it.
Yep, absolutely true. So I've read a couple articles now where they've talked about AFS and in Vietnam now, and they talked about it being up in North Korea and thought about maybe even in South Korea too. So pretty much Asia is pretty well consumed by the African swine fever. So it's a bad deal over there, and you know, it's hopefully it turns out into something good for the U.S. pork producer.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, if we ever start getting news from a trade perspective and start getting some agreements and get some of these tariffs behind us, there's plenty of friendly things in the world. I mean, that ASF issue, despite the talk that they're working on a vaccine, it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. And kind of spreading to other areas of Asia, particularly Vietnam. Yep. Sounds like it doesn't sound like they got it very under control.
No.
In China. So serious issues happening from that front, and you know, longer term, I think that you can still expect a lot of support in the hog market longer term. But we got to navigate some turbulence here in the short run because of the Mexican situation.
Right on. All right, Chip. Well, plenty of stuff going on, and never a better time to have a plan in place. If folks want to reach out to you and talk about a plan or help you, have you helped them devise one, how would they do it?
Yeah, best way is just give us a call, 309-550-7213. Love to chat with you. Challenging times, you got to have a plan, and you got to be willing to execute that plan and change it as conditions change. So we'd love to chat with you, 309-550-7213.
Right on. And do not forget to tune in Wednesday the 5th here, coming up here with George Burkhaw and myself doing that live webinar on crop insurance and what that looks like moving forward. So that's at 6 o'clock here live on Twitter. So, Chip, thanks for your time, buddy, and have a good week.
All right. We'll talk to you in a week.
Sounds good, bud.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people.